بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وسلم تسليما مزيدا أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through al-isti'adha and also al-basmala. And the isti'adha is, طيب, what's the isti'adha? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Or we can say, has anybody learned the other one? The second one? Doubt, have you learned? I think good. أعوذ بالسميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. And then after that we came to the Basmallah, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And today we come to Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha, it is a rukn, it is a pillar of every rak'ah in every salah. And the meaning of a rukn is that if it is left out intentionally or unintentionally, i.e. even out of forgetfulness, then the rak'ah of that salah, it is not valid. So then a person has to repeat that rak'ah again. So if a person was praying dhuhr four raka'at and he prayed the first, second, third and fourth raka'at, but in the first one he forgot to say Surah Al-Fatiha, then he has only prayed three. So he has to stand up for one more raka'at at the end and pray the fourth raka'at again. And if a person leaves the rukn, the pillar of the prayer, which Surah Al-Fatiha is that we're mentioning, then sujood sahu does not cover it. So sujood sahu, which is the two sujood for forgetfulness, they are only done if a person leaves the wajibat, one of the wajibat. As for if a person abandons a rukn, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, then the whole rak'ah has to be repeated and there's no sujood sahu which covers that for him. And Surah Al-Fatiha, it is a rukn, meaning it is an absolute must in every salah, whether it is fard or nafal or witr, whether the person is an imam or is praying behind the imam, whether a person is praying in congregation or he is praying alone, then Surah Al-Fatiha is a rukn, an absolute must in every single rak'ah. And this is with complete agreement by all of the fuqaha and all of the ulama. All of the fuqaha and all of the ulama agree that Surah Al-Fatiha has to be recited in every rak'ah, fard, nafal, witr, imam, ma'moom, jama'ah, or person is alone. And the only issue in which they differed are two. So first they agreed that it is a rukn in every single salah. They only differed in if it is Salatul Jahriya, if it is a salah which is being prayed out aloud, it is still a rukn. But is the recitation of the imam sufficient for the recitation of those who are praying behind him? So even those who say that the recitation of the imam is sufficient for the recitation of those who are people praying behind him, Surah Al-Fatiha, they're not saying that it is not a rukn anymore. They're still saying it is a rukn. But the fact that the imam is reciting, they say this is sufficient for those who are praying behind him to recite. This is one area in which they differed. The other issue in which the ulama differed is in Salatul Janazah. That in Salatul Janazah, is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, is it also a rukn or a wajib or is it not? And there's three opinions regarding this. The first is the opinion of the Ahnaf and the Malikiyah. And they said that it is not an obligation. In fact, they said you don't read it. because they say that Salatul Janazah is for dua, and therefore it is not recited. And the second opinion is, it is wajib. It has to be recited. And this is the opinion of the Shafi'iyya and the Hanabila. And then there's a third opinion that it is mustahab. It is something which is recommended. If you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, your reward increases. If you don't recite Surah Al-Fatiha, then your prayer is still valid. And this third opinion was the opinion of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And the ulama, they differ in these three opinions due to different evidences and due to different narrations from some of the Sahaba. So amongst the Sahaba, like Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, it is reported that he did not use to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in Salatul Janazah. And there is a narration from him mentioned by Al-Imam Malik upon the authority of Nafi', upon the authority of Ibn Umar, that he did not use to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in the Janazah Salah. And the details of this we'll come to when we study Salat Al-Janazah towards the end of the lessons. So, with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha, all of the ulama and the fuqaha, they agree that it is a rukn in every single salah, in every single rak'ah. They only differ that if the imam is reciting in a loud salah, Salatul Jahriya, then is that recitation of the imam sufficient for those who are behind him? And the evidence for Surah Al-Fatiha being a rukn or an obligation in every single salah is many a hadith. The first of them is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, which has been narrated by Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihatil kitab." There is no salah for a person who does not recite the opening chapter of the Quran, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha. And in a narration, bi ummil Quran. Ummul Quran ay Surah Al-Fatiha. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said la salata, there is no salah, meaning the salah becomes invalid if you do not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Also, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man salla salatan lam yaqra fiha bi ummil Quran fahiya khidaj. That whoever prays a salah, he does not recite in it Ummul Qur'an, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha, فَهِيَ khidaj. And the meaning of khidaj is naqis, meaning deficient. And he repeated it three times, that it is deficient, it is deficient, it is deficient. From this, some of the ulama understood that if something is deficient, it doesn't mean it's completely invalid. It just means it's deficient, i.e. its reward is deficient. Whereas those ulama who said that the prayer is not valid, like mentioned by Ibn al-Mundhir, he said, النَّقْصَ الَّذِي لَا تُجْزِيَ الصَّلَاةَ مَعَهُ, that this deficiency is the deficiency by which the salah is not accepted without Surah Al-Fatiha. And then in this narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, one of the people, they said, إِنَّا نَكُونَ وَرَاءَ الْإِمَامِ, that we are behind the imam. Meaning, not reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in the salah is deficient. But we are behind the imam, and the imam is reciting. And then he said, "Iqra biha fi nafsika," that you have to recite, or you recite Surah Al-Fatiha within yourself. So even if the imam is reciting, then you have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, as was mentioned by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And then there is also another hadith, which is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. He said, صَلَّى بِنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَرَأَ فَثَقُلَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْقِرَاءَ, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he led us in the salah. So he recited, فَثَقُلَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْقِرَاءَ, and the recitation became difficult for him. Meaning he was interrupted in the recitation. فَلَمَّا فَرَغَ قَالْ تَقْرَؤُونَ, so when he finished the salah, he turned around and he said to the people, do you also recite? Meaning, are you reciting after me? قُلْنَا نَعْمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, we said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَفْعَلُوا إِلَّا بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ, that you should not do this except with Fatihatul Kitab, i.e. Surah Al-Fatiha. فَإِنَّهُ لَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا بِهَا. Because there is no salah without it. So these are the evidences of those ulama who hold Surah Al-Fatiha to be an obligation, a rukn, in every salah, even in the Salatul Jahriya upon the imam and those who are behind the imam. And according to this opinion, those who are behind the imam, they recite Surah Al-Fatiha quietly as the imam recites it. So after every ayah, quietly they recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha, there are certain guidelines that we have to follow. The first of these guidelines is that you have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha so you can hear it within yourself. So a person, when we say reciting quietly, we don't mean a person says it in his heart, or a person says it without moving his lips, or a person moves his lips and there's no sound. There has to be enough of a sound so he himself can hear what he is saying, assuming that person is able to hear. The second guideline with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha is that it has to be recited in the correct sequence, meaning Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmani Rahim, in the correct sequence to the end. And that a person pays attention to Mukharij Al-Huruf, the sound of every letter and every vowel, and also where there's a shadda, that he pronounces the shadda. Like for example, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So on that ya, there is a shadda. And therefore it isn't correct for a person to say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, because a person hasn't pronounced the shadda. You have to say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The third guideline is that a person should not make a lahan. And the meaning of lahan is a mispronunciation of one of the letters of the vowels such that the meaning is changed. So if a person mispronounces one of the letters or one of the vowels such that the meaning of the ayah is changed or the meaning of the word is changed, then he has to repeat the raka'ah again. The fourth guideline is that Surah Al-Fatiha has to be recited in Arabic. So the translation of the surah is not considered to be the Qur'an. The Qur'an is in the Arabic language, and it is that which is in the Mus'haf between the two covers. This is the Qur'an. And the translation of the Qur'an in English or any other language is not considered to be the Qur'an. And if a person doesn't know the Qur'an, hasn't memorized Surah Al-Fatiha, is a new Muslim for example, or he cannot read, then he says Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah throughout the salah until a person is able to learn. And this is often a question which is asked by people who are giving da'wah to new Muslims or to non-Muslims, that what do they do in their first salah? Because they don't know Surah Al-Fatiha. Do they recite it in English? And no, you're not allowed to recite it in English. But a person says Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah throughout the salah. The fifth guideline is that when a person is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, he does so standing up in the salah, in the fard salah, if he is able to do so. And the reason why we mention this is, if a person went into ruku' and he hasn't completely finished reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, like sometimes when people rush, they haven't said properly walad dhalin, and then they already go into ruku'. Here, the salah or the raka'ah, it is invalid. It is batil. So the person now has to repeat the raka'ah again. So a person has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha whilst he is standing. The sixth guideline is, and this is something which is recommended now. So the other guidelines a person had to do, the sixth guideline is recommended, and that is that a person recites Surah Al-Fatiha murattala, with tartil. And the meaning of at-tartil is that a person recites it properly, beautifying his voice, melodiously, reciting it with the correct tajweed, and so on and so forth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam kana yaqta'u qira'atahu ayatan ayah. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to divide his recitation ayah ayah, And in the hadith it mentions that he would say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, he'd recite it and then he would stop. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then he would stop. Maliki Yawmiddin, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, and he would stop at every single ayah. So this was the way in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Also, the beautification of the voice and reciting it melodiously, بغير تكلف. And the meaning of بغير تكلف is that a person doesn't force this upon himself, or a person doesn't exaggerate when it comes to the recitation. So a person beautifies his voice and he does it with melody, but he doesn't exaggerate, he doesn't go too far, he doesn't allow the beautification of his voice to take over the rules of at-tajweed. So where there's no mud, because he wants to recite it beautifully, he starts making a mud. And when there's no ghunna, he starts putting a ghunna there. This is not correct. And the seventh guideline, and this is also an obligation, is that there should be no space or no delay between the recitation of one ayah to the other ayah. And this is called al-muwala. So the meaning of al-muwala is everything is done normally without there being a long delay. Like for example, wudu. The wudu, it has six wajibat, and the last of the wajibat, the last of the obligations is al-muwala. And the meaning of al-muwala is that every limb has to be washed sequentially. It has to be washed without a delay. So if a person, for example, washed his hands and then he delayed for 4 or 5 minutes, he answered a phone call, he started speaking to somebody, and then he washes his face, he has to start the wudu again. The same with Surah Al-Fatiha. So a person has to do it normally without any abnormal delay. And then there's a question which is often asked, that what about praying behind an imam who doesn't recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly? Is our salah correct behind him? Are we allowed to pray behind him? Is he allowed to be the imam of the congregation? And we're not talking about forgetting some of Surah Al-Fatiha. That like a person forgets to recite Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that's a different thing. He goes back and he recites it. We're talking about a person who doesn't recite it properly. He doesn't recite the huruf properly. So the mistakes or the mispronunciations in the salah, it is called al-lahan. And al-lahan in the Quran is two types. There is al-lahan yuhilu bil ma'na. There is al-lahan, there is a mispronunciation which is so much that it changes the meaning of the ayah. And then there is another lahan which is a lesser level, which although it is a mispronunciation, but it doesn't change the meaning of the ayah. It doesn't change the meaning of the word itself. So, an example of a lahan which changes the meaning of an ayah is if a person said, instead of saying إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, he said إِيَّاكِ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكِ نَسْتَعِينَ. By changing إِيَّاكَ to إِيَّاكِ, he has changed it from a masculine to a feminine. So instead of a person saying, you alone do we worship, O Allah, using the masculine dhamir pronoun, iyaki is used to refer to a woman. Now the meaning of this ayah has been changed. So if the imam recites it wrong and he says, iyaki na'budu, and this is something which is continuous, then the salah is not correct behind him. Or for example, if a person left a letter out, if he doesn't recite a letter at all, or if he changed a letter for another letter. So instead of saying the Ain, he said Alif. Because by saying the Alif instead of Ain, the meaning has been changed. Or for example, if a person, instead of saying An'amta, he says An'amtu. Because An'amta means you've blessed. And An'amtu means I blessed. So therefore the meaning of the ayah is now the opposite. Therefore the prayer is not correct behind the imam. And he's not allowed to be an imam for the people in only in one condition. And that condition is that those who are praying behind him, they are similar to him. Meaning there's nobody better than him. So they don't know how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly. And he knows better than them, even though he's making mistakes in this situation. It's a different matter. But if there are those behind him who recite better than them, then he's to be removed from that position. He's to be advised. If he accepts the advice, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't accept the advice, then other people have to come forward. As for if a person makes a mistake and he mispronounces the an ayah or a letter, but it doesn't change the meaning, then the person is advised, but the prayer is still valid behind him. So an example of this is, a person says, Alhamdulillahi, instead of saying Rabbil Alameen, he says Rabbal Alameen, or Rabbul Alameen. The meaning has not been changed. It hasn't changed from masculine to feminine, or the meaning is still correct, but it is Lahan, but the Lahan is something which is not too much. So this is with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha. And then after this, there is a Ta'meen. And the meaning of Ta'meen is saying Ameen. And the meaning of Ameen is Allahumma stajib. O Allah, answer. Because Surah Al-Fatiha, it is two parts. The first half of Surah Al-Fatiha is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second half of Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua. So, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, and the ayat which are before this, this is Alhamd wa thana ala Allah. This is praising Allah, exalting Allah, and mentioning His praises. The ayat which are after Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, all of it is a dua. So therefore, at the end of the dua, a person says Ameen, and it means Allahumma stajib, O Allah answer, meaning O Allah answer this supplication. And the ruling of saying Ameen is, it is mustahab. Mustahab meaning it is highly recommended. If a person does it, there is reward. And if a person doesn't do it, then it is the salah is still valid. And it is said out aloud in the loud prayers. And it is said quietly in the quiet prayers. And a person should say Ameen when the Imam says Ameen. So he shouldn't precede him, neither should he say it after him. Rather, he says it when the Imam says Ameen. In fact, he says it when the Imam says Ameen, Ameen, and the angels say Ameen. So the Ameen of the congregation, and the Ameen of the Imam, and the Ameen of the angels, all of them coincide. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha ammana al-imam fa'amminu," that when the Imam says Ameen, then you say Ameen. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ in Sahih Bukhari. He said, verily, whoever's statement of Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels, then his sins are forgiven. So the congregation, they say Ameen along with the Imam. This is for those people who can hear the Imam saying Ameen. Because sometimes the congregation might be so large that you don't hear the Imam saying Ameen. Or perhaps the Imam didn't say Ameen for whatever reason. In this case, you say Ameen at the end of Walad Dalin. Because Ameen is said at the end of Walad Dalin. And then after this, it is recommended, meaning it is mustahab. It is not from the wajibat or the arkan. It is mustahab for a person to recite another surah. And a person recites whatever is easy for him. So, in the two raka'at salah, in which there are two raka'at, both raka'at, a person recites Surah Al-Fatiha and he recites another surah with it. As for those salawat which are more than two, Maghrib, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, then in the first two raka'at, a person recites Surah Al-Fatiha and a surah. And in the second two raka'at, he doesn't do so. And there are two ahadith regarding this. The first of them is the hadith of Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to recite a surah along with Surah Al-Fatiha in the first two raka'at of the four raka'at prayer, and then he did not do so. Meaning in the third and the four raka'at, he would only recite a Surah Al-Fatiha, no surah after it. So this is where we take the general ruling that in the third and the fourth raka'ah, a person does not recite anything after Surah Al-Fatiha. However, there's another hadith, the hadith of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited something in the third and the fourth raka'ah. And for this reason, the ulama differed in the understanding of both of the hadith. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he mentions that this shows us the asl is a person does not recite in the third and the fourth raka'ah. However, every now and again, a person is permitted to recite another surah even in the third and the fourth raka'ah. So these are the rulings which relate to Surah Al-Fatiha and At-Ta'min, and also reciting a surah after it. After this, it's important for us to know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. And in reality, we've gone through the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha a number of times in other lessons previously in this masjid. However, I don't think there's anything wrong with going through it once more and we summarize the meanings. So a person begins by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as we mentioned previously, is not an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha according to one of the opinions of the ulama. And this is taken from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قسمت, that Allah says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I have divided the salah between me and my worshipper in two halves. And when Allah said in this hadith Qudsi, I've divided the salah, I've divided Surah Al-Fatiha. So one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha is As-Salah. And this shows the importance of Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah says, إِذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When my worshipper says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah says Hamadani Abdi, that my worshipper has made hamd of me. Idha qala Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and when my worshipper says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then Allah says Athna Alayya Abdi, that my worshipper has praised me. Wa idha qala Abdi Maliki Yawm Al-Din, and when my worshipper says Maliki Yawm Al-Din, then Allah says Majjadani Abdi, that my worshipper has exalted me. And when my worshipper says Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, then it mentions something similar, Fawwada ilayya 'abdi. And when my worshipper says Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim sirata alladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayr al-maghdubi 'alayhim wad-dallin, then Allah says Hadha li'abdi wa lahu ma sa'al, that this is for my worshipper and he can have whatever he supplicates for. And this hadith, it shows us that the salah, it is two halves. Half of it is al-thana ala Allah wal-hamd ala Allah, praising Allah, and half of it is a dua. Secondly, this hadith, it did not start off with when my worshipper says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then Allah says. It started with when my worshipper says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This therefore shows that Bismillah is not an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha. Because if Bismillah Rahman Rahim was an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha, then this hadith would have said, when my worshipper says Bismillah Rahman Rahim, then Allah says so on and so forth. So a person begins with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamd is wasful mahmud bil kamal mahabbatun wa ta'zima, to mention the perfection of Allah after love and veneration for Him. Alhamdulillah, this lam, it is al-istihqaq, meaning it is for Allah and Allah alone. Rabbil Alameen, Rabb, it's translated as being Lord, but four meanings are contained in the word Rabb. Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Raziq, Al-Mudabbir. That He is the creator, He is the provider, He is the owner, and He is the one who controls. When these four attributes are mentioned, then it means Ar-Rabb. And for this reason, when the ulama define Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, they say it is Ifradullahi bil-Khalq wal-Mulk wal-Rizq wal-Tadbir. It is a single out Allah in creation, in sustenance, in ownership, and in control. Al-Alameen, Alam is everything which is besides Allah. All of creation is Alam, and Allah is the Lord of Alameen, i.e. the creator of Alameen, and the provider of Alameen, the sustainer, the owner, and the controller. And if a person said in his salah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, So he made a kasra where there's a fatha. Instead of saying alamin, he said alimin. His prayer is invalid. Because alam is everything else besides Allah. So you're saying Allah is Rabb al-alamin. If you say alim, it means a person who has knowledge. So now you've changed the meaning. Now you are saying Allah is the Rabb of the people who have knowledge. And therefore the recitation is invalid. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he said Al-alam kullu ma siwallah, that everything besides Allah is alam. Sometimes, or some of the mufassirun, they mention that the meaning of alam is the different kingdoms, meaning the kingdom of the birds and the kingdom of the fish, the kingdom of the jinn, the world of the humans, the plants, the mammals, and Allah is the Lord and the creator and the sustainer of all of these different types of kingdoms and dominions. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, these are the two beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They contain the attribute of Ar-Rahmah, of mercy. The meaning of Ar-Rahman is Dhur-Rahmah Al-Wasi'ah, the one who possesses absolute, complete mercy. And the meaning of Ar-Rahman is Dhur-Rahmah Al-Wasila, the one who bestows the Rahmah upon all of creation. So Ar-Rahman describes the that of Allah, and Ar-Rahim describes the actions of Allah Jalla fil Ula. Maliki Yawmiddin, he's Al-Malik. And Malik means the one who has complete mulk. And mulk is ownership, kingdom and dominion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Al-Malik Yawmiddin, on the day of Ad-Din. And here the meaning of Yawmiddin is Yawm Al-Jaza, meaning the day in which there will be recompense, reward for those who did good and punishment for those who did evil. And why? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Malik of Ad-Dunya and Ad-Din. But in this ayah, only Yawm Ad-Din is mentioned. Why? Because in this dunya, there are those people who challenge the mulk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those people who disbelieve and transgress, like the tawaghit, and they rule by other than what Allah has revealed. And also because in this dunya there are other muluk. So the king of a country is called a malik. And the possessor of a house is called a malik. And the possessor of a land is called a malik. So in this dunya there are other muluk. However, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will be no other muluk. And then the mulk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become known, and so nobody will challenge it. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. As I mentioned, there is a shadda on the ya, and a person has to pronounce the shadda on the ya. The ayah, in normal Arabic, it should be na'budu iyaka, because na'budu is fi'l and fa'il, and iyaka is maf'ulun bihi, the subject. But in this ayah, the maf'ulun bihi is brought first. So instead of saying na'budu iyaka, we say iyaka na'budu. So this is in opposition to the normal jimlat al-fi'liya, fi'l fa'il maf'ulun bihi. Here the maf'ulun bihi comes first. Why do we do this? Yufid al-hasar. Because it shows the benefit of restricting this meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person says na'budu iyaka, it means we worship you, same meaning. But it could also mean we worship you and we worship other than you. But when you say iyyaka na'budu, you restrict this worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa iyyaka nasta'een, and you alone do we seek help from. And this ayah, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een, this is the pinnacle of at-tawheed. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah, in his tafsir of this ayah, he said sirr al-Qur'an al-Fatiha, that the treasure of the Qur'an, it is Surah Al-Fatiha. Wa sirr al-Fatiha, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. And the treasure of Surah Al-Fatiha, it is إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Then a person says إهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide me to الصراط المستقيم. What is الصراط المستقيم? It is صراط الذين نعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. It is the path of the prophets and the messengers and the truthful ones, and the martyrs and the ulama and the righteous people. This is as-sirat al-mustaqim. Naam. And what did I say? Guide me. Naam. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path, to sirat al-mustaqim. In normal Arabic, we say, when you say ihdi, when you say guide, in normal Arabic we say ihdi ila or ihdina ila, guide us to something. This is the normal. If I say to you, ihdini ila tariq, guide me to the road. So this ila is missing from this ayah. And this is because this ayah has two meanings. Ihdina ila sirat al-mustaqim and ihdina ala sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path, meaning from kufr to Islam, and guide us upon the straight path, meaning make us firm upon al-Islam and upon the sunnah. And the reason why this harful jar ila was left out, or ala was left out, to include both of these meanings. So the meaning of ihdina sirat al-mustaqim is, O Allah, guide us to the straight path by guiding us from kufr to Islam, and guide us upon the straight path, meaning make us firm upon Islam, firm upon Tawheed and the Sunnah, away from innovations. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, and it is the path of those whom you have blessed. As I mentioned, Allah mentioned Surah An-Nisa, An-Nabiyyin, Was-Siddiqin, Was-Shuhada, Was-Salihin, Wa-Hasuna Ula'ika Rafiqa. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, not the path of those who are المغضوب عليهم, your anger is upon them, ولا الضالين, and neither the ضالين, those who are astray. The Mufassirun mention المغضوب عليهم اليهود, الضالون or الضالين النصارى. Why are the يهود المغضوب عليهم? Why did they invite the wrath of Allah upon them? Because they used to have the knowledge, they should know of the signs, and they used to either conceal it or they did not implement it. So the anger of Allah is upon them. And why are An-Nasara called Ad-Dalun or Ad-Dalin, those who have gone astray? The Mufassirun mention because they should do actions without having the knowledge, and therefore they went astray. And for this reason the ulama say that whoever has knowledge and does not implement it or conceals it, فَلَهُ شِبَهْ مِنْ الْيَهُودِ, then he has a portion of resemblance to the Yahud. And whoever does actions thinking their righteous actions be without knowledge, meaning innovations, then he has a share of resemblance to the Nasara. So this in summary is the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. And whoever wants further detail in terms of its rulings and its virtues, its names and the reward, then refer to some of the other lessons. Wallahu A'lam. وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.